Welcome to the Path to Podcast Success. My name is Evan Johnson, and I want to share with you how to develop and maintain a successful podcast. My guests and I will discuss all things podcasting and how your podcast can become an essential part of your business. That means more revenue, better relationships with your audience, and so much more. If you haven't already, check out our website at ipodcastedit.com and enter your email address to get each episode delivered directly to your inbox, along with some other free information I'm sure you'll find useful. Get ready to turn on your mic and join me on the path to podcast success. Hey everyone, and welcome to today's episode of the Path to Podcast Success. I had the honor to interview Kim Beasley today on the podcast. For Kim, after becoming a successful multi-six-figure entrepreneur who provides WordPress development, training, and support desk services to corporations, Kim Beasley decided to pay it forward. So she created PamperMyBusiness.com, which offers coaching and a podcast, which of course is the focus of our conversation, that focuses on small business Google coaching to entrepreneurs. Also, at growvisibility.com, she has a lot of great online marketing tools. So I hope you guys enjoyed this episode as we dive into how her podcast has influenced her business like that. So I hope you guys enjoy. Hey, Kim, thank you so much for being on the podcast today. I've been really looking forward to this.
I'm excited to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
So I'd like to start off in the same place with everybody, and that is, what was your biggest fear of podcasting when you were first starting out? And did that fear actually end up coming true?
Oh gosh, you don't want me to share my fear. No! My biggest fear, I would say, was just that I was afraid to flip the switch. I used to do podcasting. I actually started off way back in the younger years, when it used to be called AudioZines, and or AudioZines, however you want to pronounce it. And I used to edit and do all of the things that required. And so I had no problems talking like this. It was just doing another podcast. I procrastinated for 2 years. And finally, December 2018, I said, okay, no more procrastination. I flipped the switch, did my intro podcast. And I would say the biggest fear I had was actually flipping the switch, getting started, and getting out there and getting it going.
So obviously that fear didn't come true because you did start and now you're continuing. Everything is going well. I mean, that didn't stop you, right?
Everything is going great. I'm just really excited about sharing how I have really gotten an opportunity to expand my podcast and share just things that could help others.
Yeah, exactly. So I like to ask a question too that's similar to that one, and that would be, now that you've established your podcast and you got, you know, you were able to push past that initial fear, is there a regret that you have from podcasting up to this point?
I would say the biggest regret I have is that I didn't have my podcast website set up before I did my podcast, because I just flipped the switch, started podcasting, and then 2-3 months in, I realized I should have a website to send people to. Instead of just sending them to Spreaker where I host it, that's just not, to me, it wasn't good branding for my podcast. So I spent time, built a website, and now I'm sending people to my website instead of sending them to Spreaker.
Okay, yeah. So really what I'm hearing is jump in and start, but also know what you're doing and be prepared.
Oh yes, I totally suggest that people have a plan. Mm-hmm. My plan is that I wish you could see my spreadsheet. I have this huge spreadsheet where I track every single thing about every single guest that I have on. And I plan my shows out three, four guests ahead. Mm-hmm. So like right now, I have three or four shows in the hopper. Mm-hmm. and I send it to my podcast editor. They edit, I get them loaded up. I think that if you want to get into podcasting, don't be afraid to flip the switch and get started. And once you get started, just make sure that you are, that you have a plan of where it's going, who your target audience is, the purpose behind your podcast. Is it just you just blowing hot air, or are you trying to make a difference in your listeners' lives or their business or relationship, whatever your podcast is about? Make sure it has a purpose. Know your why.
Yep. There it is. Know your why.
Mm-hmm.
So you mentioned something about you mentioned that you record your podcast, send it off to your editor. Let's talk a little bit more about that and all the back end stuff. How much of the podcasting process do you do, and how much do you outsource?
I outsource all of the podcast editing. I outsource to my team. Well, I have a podcast editor that's outside of my team. I have inside of my team, I have someone that handles all the social media for my podcast. I have someone that handles or works with me to do the blogging, and pretty much I do the recording, and then I have someone who works with me to get the guests. I do a lot with it because right now it's still like a baby, and I'm holding it in my hands, and I'm, you know, cuddling it and all that. But eventually I just want to be able to show up, do the podcast, and everything else magically appears or gets done.
Yeah.
So I'm working towards that goal, but right now I still do some of the behind the scenes things.
So what is preventing you from outsourcing all of it? Is it like, is it the cost, or is it just that it's kind of still your baby and you want to get it to where you want it to be before you let go more of the control?
It's not the cost. It's more of, excuse the expression, but I'm anal about process. And so I have to have a process for everything I do in business. And with podcasting, until I get that process solidified, I do a lot of the things. But once I get it solidified, like the social media, boom, I know where it's going. I know what I want it to do. I can give it to my team member. But in my head, I need to figure out, okay, how do I want this to be received? Who do I want to receive it? And once I get that solid, then I work with my team along the way as we are creating these processes. And then once everything is smooth, I hand it off, I sit back, and I just show up. So I'm still in the, I would say I'm still in like the first 6 months. My goodness, it hasn't been 6 months yet? Whoa. I'm still in my first 6 months, and in the 6 months, I think I've accomplished a lot. I started the podcast, built a website, and got my first sponsor.
Nice.
Woo!
Nice.
Well, actually, I have two sponsors, but the other one I'm more of an affiliate of.
Yeah.
However, I do have a sponsor, which for a podcaster is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. So how much time? So I know that you're not outsourcing everything as of right now, but I know you're outsourcing probably the majority, or at least a good amount of the process. How much time do you think you've saved doing that?
Oh, outsourcing gives me back my brain. I was doing everything in the beginning, social media, podcasting, recording it, editing it, writing up the show notes, all of it. And by outsourcing it, it saves me a lot of time editing the podcast. How much time? Oh, goodness. Per podcast, I would say I'm saving probably 2 to 4 hours per podcast actually it's more like 6 hours, because I'm having someone on my team handle the social media and someone handling the editing. So I'm saving about 6 hours per podcast.
Yeah, there you go. That's usually about how long it takes, especially if you're very detailed.
Mm-hmm.
It can definitely be upwards of between 2 to 6, maybe even more than 6 hours, for each podcast episode. And that's a lot of time, you know? And I assume that you've been able to put that time to good use now that you have it back.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I'm able to spend more time on cultivating the people that I'm interviewing. My podcast is geared towards entrepreneurs who want to learn how to brand and build their business online. I interview people who actually have created the tools that can help entrepreneurs.
Okay.
I interview entrepreneurs themselves. So I give a platform for entrepreneurs to shine. That's the whole thing. I want them to shine and to have a place where they can talk about their business. And then I also have a giveaway with every podcast.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Every person I interview, I ask them to give me a giveaway to give to my listeners.
Wow. That's a good system. I haven't heard that one yet from a guest. So let's talk a little bit more about that. Are all of your guests willing to give mm-hmm. something away? And what are the kind of things that they give away? And how does that impact your audience and your business and sales and all that kind of stuff?
It is a requirement that every guest has something to give away, whether wow. it's a link to a blog post that I go to the blog post and convert it into a PDF, or they give me a book, or they give me, or they just make me an affiliate and I push people to the affiliate page. Every guest has a link that, or has a download that I share with my listeners. And when listeners sign up for my listener podcast list, mailing list, they get notified every time a new podcast goes out. So the big thing is that when I have this process, you remember I talked about processes. When I get a guest or someone interested in being a guest, I send them to a link on my website that asks them basic information. That's my qualifier form. I look at the information. If I feel they'll be a good guest for my listeners, then I send them to the detailed form where they give me all of their information, the freebie, their headshot, and all like that. Okay. Then I can move on through the process. It's a long process, very detailed, very intricate. However, that's me. Podcasting is really simple. Get a mic that's decent. Figure out where you want your podcast to be hosted. And there's some free ones out there. And go at it. You don't have to have a detailed, intricate process like I do.
Yeah, that's something I was going to ask you is, that's an amazing process. And I think that's a really good idea. Something that I'm going to look into now. Mm-hmm. Having guests give away something for each podcast episode, but I'm sure that there are some people out there who either haven't started or maybe they're in their first couple episodes and they're like, whoa, that's a lot, you know? So it's a great system to have, but it sounds like it's not necessary. You know, podcasting can be very simple.
Oh yes, it is very simple. It just depends. You can start out simple because I've always asked guests to give me something to give away. Mm-hmm. But I didn't even have a way to capture emails in the first place, in the beginning. And now I have where they can get the download without signing up for a list.
Okay.
I don't make that a requirement, even though some people go, no, make them give you their email. I'm of the standpoint that, if people are really interested, they're going to sign up for my list. If they're just coming just to get the download, fine. I'm not going to force you to sign up for my list. However, you're going to miss a lot if you don't sign up for my list.
Yeah.
I think that that people who have podcasts need a way to engage with their listeners. Whether it's given having a giveaway on their podcast, or they have a way to take in listener questions. I think one of the things that Pat Flynn talks about, he shares how he uses SpeakPipe mm-hmm. to capture listener feedback. And I was like, I can use it to capture promos from my guests. And this is another thing that I do. I actually have my guests call into my SpeakPipe, leave a promo, a self-promotion just for them, for their podcast, where they're saying, hi, my name is blah, blah, blah. My website is blah, blah, blah. My business is blah, blah, blah. And listen in as Kim and I talk about blah, blah, blah. That's a promo. It's the first thing you hear when you listen to my podcast.
Nice.
And he loves it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. Having the guest record their promo for that episode.
Mm-hmm. And then I can take their promo and put a little music behind it and use it as a marketing piece.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nice. No, that's good. That's a good idea. I love how involved the guest is in your process. Now, you said that you've got how, so I guess you are able to reliably get guests who are willing to do all of that and give a giveaway mm-hmm. and all that kind of stuff.
Yes, the first few guests were in my infancy. I've been talking to those people that I know in my Facebook groups. I put out information about, hey, you want to be interviewed? Here's a link. Go to it. Fill out a form. Blah, blah, blah. And I've gotten a lot of people that way. And I've asked some people personally, hey, I want to interview you for my podcast. Mm-hmm. People can just say yes or no. Regardless, I have a list of people I want on my podcast. Some of them are really famous. Yes, one day I want Oprah on my podcast.
Yeah.
I have this list, and I'm working through this list of people, and I'm trying to figure out how am I going to reach them. And you can reach out to a PR person for any major person in the world, and they can say yes or no. They say yes, woo! However, if you're going to go for big name people, you got to have something to give them in return. Don't just say, I want you to be on my podcast, and that's it. What are you going to give them in return for being on your podcast?
Yeah, no, that's a good idea, because especially if they're big name people, mm-hmm. they may not be initially inclined to actually be on your show. You know, they may, oh, what's in it for me? Is this a good opportunity? Now, did you wait until you established more of a listener base before you started getting more intricate with the process? Or did you just start right off the bat asking for all those things?
Well, you have to understand something. I have a history of being very process oriented.
Yeah.
I used to be in corporate America. I was a technical project manager, which means that I knew how to manage technology, people, and projects. So that's my specialty. And for me, doing any type of project, I have process steps. There's a beginning, there's a middle, and there's an end. And I figure out all the little things that happen in between. So for me, I did just flip the switch in the beginning. I sat down and said, okay, I'm going to write my script for my intro podcast. I'm going to record it. I'm going to put a little music in the beginning and end, do me a little outro and intro, and I'm going to put it up. Boom, done. That's how I got started. I didn't have anybody doing my podcast editing for the first, say, 2 or 3 months. I did everything myself, because I wanted to get a process in place that I could then hand off to someone else and teach them how to do it and know that it was going to get done the way I wanted it to and not have to worry about it. But you can start off real simple, or you can go elaborate like I have it.
Yeah, no, that's definitely true. You start off simple, you can start off complicated, and you can start off simple and get complicated as time goes on. It's really, you know, it all works.
Yes, I totally agree.
Something else that I'm interested in is you said that you had two sponsors technically. Mm-hmm. And did you wait until you started getting sponsorship you know, income from with your podcast to hire to hire people to outsource? Or did you just start doing that when you realized that it would be a good idea?
I started outsourcing after I heard Pat Flynn talking about the importance of a podcast editor. Mm-hmm. And I was like, but I can do it myself. I can do it myself. You know, you could see me like a little kid throwing a tantrum.
I know what you mean.
And so I was like, okay, that's it. He said, you got to have one. I'm going to get one. And I was going through his amped podcast training. And mm-hmm. when you get to a certain point, he tells you about this service that does podcast editing. And I was like, okay, I'll check them out. And I checked them out. I love how they handle things. It's straightforward and simple. And I said, okay, I'm going to do it. And I think the thing is that as a podcaster, we have to be willing to release. In the end, it's going to be more valuable to get your time back than for you to spend money to pay somebody else to do it.
Yeah. And no matter what, it's not like you lose all control. You know, you still mm-hmm. can go in and say, hey, can you change this? Or hey, can you do this differently? Mm-hmm. And so I know a lot of people will hesitate getting an editor or getting a team to help with that because their podcast isn't making them any money yet. And they think, oh, well, why would I pay all this money for my podcast when it's not actually bringing in any money? But, you know, are you saying that it's definitely still worth it?
Yes. I pay a reasonable amount monthly for 4 podcasts. And it gives me a peace of mind knowing that once I record something, all I got to do is upload my audio and set it and forget it. When I get it back for them, I know it's going to be done, ready to go out and be published. Yeah. That having them handle that is such, it takes one more thing off of my shoulders. And as a podcaster, you want to make sure that you're getting the best that you can get done on your podcast. Hey, maybe you can't afford to pay someone to do it right now. However, it should be your goal. It should be one of those reasons why you want to generate revenue with your podcast. With me, my sponsor gave me a free year of their service.
Wow.
I asked, they said yes. My mother always taught me growing up, you can always ask. They have 2 options, yes or no. And as a podcaster, I think it's not so much being afraid of flipping the switch, it's also being afraid of getting a no. It's okay if you get a no, because guess what? You can keep asking until you get a yes. Once you get that yes, you're celebrate, keep asking more people. It's up to you to determine what works for you and what doesn't work for you. Not everything that someone else is doing will work for you, but you just got to choose what works best for you and your podcast.
Yeah. And the worst thing that can happen is someone says no. And then, oh, well, okay. So they said no. Well, then just ask someone else and keep asking until you get the yes.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree.
So let's transition a little bit. You were talking about, before we were talking about your podcast and your email list and things like that. I want to talk more about how your podcast relates to your business more specifically. In the grand scheme of things, in your marketing funnels, how does your podcast fit in?
My podcast brings my business to the forefront for Pamper My Business. Pamper My Business is podcast and training for entrepreneurs. So I have the podcast, and then I have a membership website that's a training hub where entrepreneurs can learn about social media, WordPress. I have actually WordPress 101 training that is awesome. It's phenomenal. It teaches everything about the basics of WordPress, especially for those people who don't know how to build their own website, yet they want to learn WordPress, but it's just too complicated for them. Well, my training actually walks them through step by step. And so the podcast gives entrepreneurs to a place to shine, and then the training teaches them how to shine. So it all kind of works together.
Yeah. And would you say that an email list is a big help and part of the podcasting process and marketing process?
Email list is, how can I put this? Okay, let's take a house, for instance. I'm always using a house, and I'm not even real estate. Let's take a house, for instance. So you have a house. The email, some people think you may not need it, but in essence, you do. Email is like insurance, okay, that you have on your house. Let's say something happens to your house one day, it burns down. Or case in point, let's say you have your business on Facebook and Facebook takes your Facebook page down. What are you going to do? How are you going to communicate to your listeners if you have them all on Facebook page? You have no way.
Yeah.
So I would definitely say that you shouldn't depend on just Facebook or Twitter or LinkedIn or any social media platform to communicate to your listeners. You need to have a mailing list, because you will own that mailing list, not Facebook or any other social media platform, but you will own that mailing list and you will be able to manage it the way you want to.
Yeah.
So is a mailing list important? Yes, it's insurance against anybody shutting down anything anywhere, saying you can't be on our platform anymore. Well, I still have my listeners. I can go somewhere else. That's what I look at an email mailing list is important for.
Yeah, and I remember Pat Flynn stressed that as well, because we met through the Amped Up Podcasting Course Facebook group.
Mm-hmm.
And he stressed that as well, having an email list. And then you said that you sent out each new episode through email too, right?
Yes. I have an RSS feed set up to where as soon as my podcast hits my website, boom, there's an alert that goes out and lets people know.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that's amazing. I know that's the email list is a big part of marketing, whether you have a podcast or not. But with the podcast, I know that it definitely helps.
Most definitely. Podcast to me is a way for me to express myself to my listeners and for them to get to know me, get to know about my business, and for them to learn how to enrich their business. That's my goal, is to really teach entrepreneurs how to shine and also give them a place to shine.
Yeah. So I know that podcast listeners are notorious for not being the most responsive, I think, mm-hmm. just because they're listening and, you know, it's a little bit more difficult to get them to convert and to click links and things like that. Have you used your email list, and is that your main way of communicating with your audience? Because I know that podcasting sometimes makes it difficult to communicate with your audience. So I was wondering how you approach that.
With me, I use a combination of the email list. I use a combination of podcasting and social media.
Yeah.
I think that you can't just get your podcast out there and think, oh, they'll come. I built it. No. You got to do more. You have to get on other podcasts. You know, let other people interview you. You need to use social media. You need to have a website eventually. You can't just build it and expect people to come. If they don't know about you, they don't know to come. So I have it, like I said, I have the mailing list. I have social media. I have my website. I even blog on my website.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things where you got to figure out what works for your listeners and then communicate to them in that way.
Yeah, there you go. So as we kind of wind down the podcast episode and we reach the end, I like to ask people the same question. And that question is what your tip would be for listeners out there who are unsure about whether or not they're ready to turn on the mic, whether or not a podcast is right for them and their business. What would be your number one tip?
The number one tip is flip the switch.
Yeah.
But before you flip the switch, do a little research, and so that you can have some really great things to share with people. In my introduction podcast, I did some research about statistics, and I analyzed a few things that I would be able to share that would help my podcast listeners know, okay, this is what she's going to be sharing. This is the solution that she's going to bring to me. I think I want to listen to her. And so, yeah, it's great that you're going to, you know, flip the switch, do the research, prepare yourself, flip the switch, research, prepare, flip the switch. And once you get going, make sure that you have a way to track every detail about your guests so that you may want to have them back in later on, or you may want to create some type of promotional information that goes out on social media or you put on your website. One of my early guests, I interviewed her first for a blog post. And then I interviewed her on my podcast. So now I have a blog post that points to her podcast. And she promotes it all the time. So I think you have to research, prepare, flip the switch, and then make sure that you monitor to make sure that you're doing things that are working for your listeners. And then tweak if it's not working.
Yeah, you can always change as the process goes along. You know, it's not, is whatever you do right at the beginning isn't set in stone.
Yes, correct. Just be willing to adapt. I think podcasters need to be flexible and adapt what they're working on, because sometimes you may think something is working and it's not working.
Yeah.
And you may need to tweak it. And then as soon as you do, voila, it's working. So, yeah.
Exactly. And listen to your audience too. You know, they know what they want.
Yes, definitely. Listen to your audience. They will tell you, okay, that's not working. I'm not feeling it. Or they'll tell you, yeah, let's go for it.
Exactly. So for those listeners out there who are interested in what you have to say and interested in Pamper My Business and the kind of things that you like talk about and that you work with, what is the best way for them to get in touch with you?
They can get in touch with me by visiting pampermybusiness.com. And on social media, just look for Pamper My Biz. Pamper My B-I-Z, Biz. We're on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram.
That's awesome. Yeah, all of that will be in the show notes for this episode for anyone who wants to get in contact and learn more about you. So, thank you so much for being on the podcast. This was an amazing episode.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Path to Podcast Success. Make sure to head over to ipodcastedit.com to check out the show notes and get each episode of the show delivered right to your inbox. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or whichever audio service you use. If you want to continue the conversation, or you have a topic you'd like me to discuss on a future episode of the show, please don't hesitate to reach out. Thank you again for tuning in, and I'll see you on the next episode as we continue down the path to podcast success.